My name is Jason Spies with Building the Bakken and Coffee and Capitalism. My son Otis and I would like to take this moment to thank everyone involved with the Bakken Shale Play. From the trucking companies to the oil companies to the hotel operators to the restaurateur. It takes a big team to keep this economy moving. And my son and I are happy to be a part of it. You see, I'm running my 9-year-old son's company right now. Because in 20 years when he's ready to take over, the Bakken will still be a world-class shale play. And our company will become a second-generation business. Hold on a minute, am I running my grandson's company or my great-grandson's company? Welcome to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. What a fantastic program we have in store for you on this 4th of July weekend. We talk with Tony Spilde from MDU Resources about the Tesoro purchase of the Dakota Prairie Refinery. Plus, Tribal Chairman Ken Hall about the permitting process on the reservation, plus a few new shops opening up on the reservation as well. We also talk with the mayor of Watford City, Brent Sanford, where you can now get some specialty sandwiches down on Main Street. Plus a number of barbecue tips from the Bakken Cookers. All that plus much more on today's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with Tony Spilde from MDU Resources.
WBI Energy.
WBI Energy. Now, that's a little bit different than MDU, or is it are you a subsidiary company of MDU?
Right. Well, so Jason, just for your background, I work at MDU Resources Group, but I'm assigned to help with the communications at WBI Energy, subsidiary of MDUR.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the news on hand here. The refinery in Dickinson, North Dakota has sold to Tesoro. Just kind of, I guess do a little bit of fact-checking, if you would, on that statement.
Yeah, that's true. So as of Monday, June 27th, we closed with Tesoro on the sale of Dakota Prairie Refining.
Are there any numbers being disclosed at this time?
No, we're not disclosing financials beyond, Jason, what we put in our 8K, which was released this morning.
Was there any reason for it? Was it because that the numbers were not coming in as much, or did Tesoro just look at expanding, I guess? What were some of the reasons that Tesoro decided to purchase?
Okay, well, just a little bit of background. The refinery is running very well. Our team out in Dickinson has done a fantastic job. They've built and are running the first refinery in the U.S. in 40 years. So from an operations standpoint, it's going very well. This isn't an operational issue at all. What it is, it's a market issue. So what has led to the sale was prolonged weak markets, low commodity prices, a decrease in demand for diesel, and also on top of that, our desire to do what's best for our shareholders. So at the end of the first quarter, we announced that we were going to be evaluating our ownership position, and eventually that came to this sale. And we feel that the sale is the best thing for our shareholders, for our employees out at the plant, and then ultimately what's best for Dickinson and the region, keeps the refinery going for diesel users.
Some speculated that the decrease in rigs had a lot to do with this, that going down from, say, 100 rigs down to 25 rigs, they're not using as much diesel to power those. Did that play into this at all?
Yeah, that would certainly be part of it. So as I said, this is a market-based issue here. So the weak markets, low oil prices, for one, but then also decreased diesel demand.
Was there any decreased demand from the agriculture industry with low commodity prices? Did you guys hear of anything along those lines?
Well, primarily, it's been driven by the decrease in the number of drilling rigs.
Okay, and when does Tesoro officially become the owner of it?
They own it.
Well, that was quick. Okay, just like go to the grocery store and buy something right then and there. Okay, it just doesn't have to go through any board of directors or any sort of oversight or regulation?
Yeah, all of that has been done already.
Okay. How about the staff? Is there any indication that they're going to keep the staff on, or they're going to bring in their own staff? Just comment on the current staff out there.
Well, I guess it comments on the staffing should probably be directed to Tesoro, but I can say that the employees out at the plant, the jobs out there, was a very important part of the deal for us. One of our goals was to keep the refinery running so that local jobs would still be needed. Beyond that, though, I think in terms of staffing, you should probably talk to Tesoro.
Sure, fair enough. And then final question, Calumet Industries, are they still an owner?
Nope, Tesoro is the 100% owner.
To listen to the full-length interview with Tony Spilde from MDU Resources or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
The Real American Jam, a concert benefiting the fallen soldiers of North Dakota, July 15th, 16th, and 17th, Buffalo Gap Guest Ranch west of Medora. Joe Diffie, Corb Lunn, Ned Ledoux, Bart Crow, and more will be performing. Tickets available now at realamericanjam.com. Camping's available. Call to reserve a spot, 701-623-4200. The Real American Jam, for the fallen soldiers of North Dakota, July 15th through the 17th, Buffalo Gap Guest Ranch. realamericanjam.com and buffalogapguestranch.com has complete details.
My name is Otis, and I am the host of the Kids in Capitalism KidCast. Let me tell you about one of our sponsors. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Call Eric Hatch or anyone on the Hatch Realty team with any real estate question. They want to be a resource and connection for you. That's Hatch Realty, 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Hatch Realty, tell them Otis sent you.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. And now a time for another barbecue tip from the 4th Annual Bakken Barbecue. So what's your name and who are you cooking for?
I'm Josh Franken, and I'm cooking for St. Alexis Hospital.
What are you cooking today?
I'm cooking pork. I've got one tri-tip in there, but I've been doing pork for about 14 hours right now.
So describe that 14-hour process. Is there a marinade, an injection, a rub?
I bought locally here at the Worst Shop, and the great people to work with there, and brought the stuff home, rubbed it all down, let it sit for about a half an hour, put it into my smoker last night at 200 degrees, let it smoke for 2 hours, pull it off of the smoker, put them into roasting pans, let them roast for 10 hours, pull them back off, shred them up, put them back into the smoker, and let them smoke now for about another 3.5-4 hours.
So you almost got a full day into each one of these pieces of pork that people are eating, huh?
It's a labor of love, absolutely.
You can taste the love, that's right. It looks like you guys got some tortillas.
Yes, we do. We're kind of doing a mixture here. We've got a salsa marinade that we're putting on top of it. We've got a corn and a flour shell over here on the side that we're putting into them. We've got some different flavors, barbecue sauces that we're using. So kind of doing the tango two-step for people's mouths now right now.
Where are you from?
I'm right here in Dickinson, South Park.
Oh, you're South Hart. Okay, I love going to the Farmer's Daughter's Cafe.
There you go. There you go.
How about the your background? How did you get to be the cooker? Do you got a background in this, or are you just the guy who barbecues in the backyard the most?
Actually, I used to run a catering business back in Oregon before we moved up here about four years ago. My wife here works for the hospital, and I've cooked for a bunch of different folks around for the hospital, different functions, marathon for tailgating parties. And, when they wanted to do pork, it's my way of helping out with the community, helping out with the hospital. They do a phenomenal job to me, and I want to just kind of help them back. So they asked me if I wouldn't mind doing it, and absolutely not a problem.
Tips for somebody, without giving away your trade secrets, tips for somebody who's an aspiring pit master of any age.
Some of my how I learned was actually a bunch of people would come over to my house. I used to be a police officer, and a bunch of people would come over to the house and loved my food, and eventually I just kind of picked it up, moved slowly through it, bought things. Now, for somebody who's getting into it, my advice is be patient, slow and low. It definitely is the secret to all kinds of meats. Be patient, no peeking. If you're poking in on the meat, you're not smoking on the meat. So really, really be patient that way. And be creative, travel outside of your norm, explore with different things, but stick with things that do work for you.